Some of you know that I'm a biker and a runner. And one of the challenges of running a race when the weather is chilly and cold is keeping warm before the race until the starting gun goes off. And so what runners do is wear some old clothing over our racing shorts and our t-shirts. And after getting warmed up after a mile or two into the race, these outer clothes are shed and tossed to the ground so that in the early miles of a race, the runners are dodging the cast aside sweatpants and other clothing on the road. I think about that street scene leading into the city of Jerusalem described by Luke on the day of Jesus' triumphal entry. The road was not littered with secondhand clothing, but with the coats and garments worn by those who were participating in Jesus' parade into the city. Notice that Luke does not mention any palm branches, as the other gospel writers report, only these garments strewn on the road. So if we only had Luke's account of Jesus' triumphal entry, we would probably not call this Palm Sunday, but maybe Coat Sunday. It was an ancient custom dating back to the early kings of Israel to spread garments on the road whenever a king or an important person was passing by. And Luke never uses the word Hosanna, a familiar Palm Sunday expression of praise in our hymns, a phrase or a word that means save us, Lord, save us now. And Luke seems to play down the idea that there were big crowds welcoming Jesus. Twice he tells us that the people doing the cheering were Jesus' disciples. And there are no children mentioned in Luke's account. So by the way that Luke tells the story, it seems as if Jesus isn't leading the parade, riding out in front, because how could you throw your coat on the road for Jesus unless you're ahead of him? If Jesus isn't bringing up the rear, he's probably in the middle of the crowd of admirers. The crowd is acting like John the Baptist at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, preparing the way of the Lord. Jesus does not choose to ride as a leader, as like a commander of a great army, surrounded by legions of military troops to protect him. He's surrounded by his own little band of disciples and other country folk. What they lacked in numbers, they made up for in their enthusiasm. Throughout his ministry, Jesus invited people to come and follow him. But here, as his ministry approaches its culmination, it's the disciples and the crowd who are out in front. And Jesus is the one following, riding on a donkey. When some of the Pharisees in the crowd warn Jesus that he needs to stop all this revelry and silence the crowd, Jesus quotes from the prophet Habakkuk, "I tell you, if these people were silent, the stones would shout out." For Luke, therefore, Jesus fulfills what the prophets before him had said. Now, for all its joyful hosannas, Palm Sunday is a day of contrasts. We hear it in the hymns we sing. Ride on in majesty, in lowly pomp, ride on to die. In a sermon on this text, the preacher Scott Hosey used an illustration from the TV series MASH, if you're old enough to remember that television show. The setting was the Korean War. The doctor in the field hospital went by the name Trapper, and he was diagnosed with a stomach ulcer. Although he was initially very upset about having to deal with this hole in his gut, Trapper was reminded by his bunkmate Hawkeye that according to Army regulations, this diagnosis was in fact for him a ticket out of misery, out of the war, to return home. And so they planned a celebration. However, as the episode develops, Trapper is informed by Radar, the communications officer, that the Army recently changed the regulations and that his ulcer would have to be treated right there on the front lines of the war. Well, Trapper allows his going home party to go on anyway. Everyone seemed to have a good time. The party served as a kind of escape for everyone from the reality of war. Until at the end of the evening, Trapper is asked to give a farewell speech, which really isn't a farewell. He tells the truth. He tells them he's not going anywhere. Now, throughout the party, both Trapper and Radar have a look in their eyes that revealed the truth. Oh, they smiled and they even laughed during the party. They pretend to have a good time. But the sadness in their eyes show that even though it's a nice party, it's not going to last. There will be more bloodshed and death. I wonder if someone had looked into Jesus' eyes on that first Palm Sunday, they would have seen a similar sadness. In the later verses of our text today, following the parade, Jesus wept over the city. And it says, Jesus said, "If you had only recognized on this day the things that make for peace, that you would have recognized God's visitation." The people had it all wrong about the kind of king that Jesus was. They were still thinking about the kind of political and military leader who would kick the hated Romans out and send Pilate and Herod and all the other foreign rulers on their way so that the kingdom of Israel might be restored. But Jesus had come to bring a heavenly kingdom. Jesus' way for this kingdom and for peace was through love and service and humility and even sacrificing his own life. So we ask ourselves, what are the things that make for peace? Our lives are filled with contradictions. We often look for earthly means to bring us prosperity and peace. We pick up a newspaper or watch the TV news, and it's the rich and the powerful and the popular who get our attention and promise a good life. We're proud of a nation that has the largest military budget for any nation in the world, many times over, and still we worry. It's hard for us to look in the eyes of this one who bounces along on the back of a lowly donkey and recognize that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Someone tells us that the best way to create peace is by initiating a war. We confront fear by buying guns. Schools encourage competition rather than cooperation. Governments and businesses seek to win at all costs, no matter who are hurt. We're cautioned to be wary of anyone who doesn't look like us. What are the things that make for peace? What are the things hidden from our eyes? At least by asking those questions, we recognize that we probably don't know the answers. Luke's gospel records Jesus' words on the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know." They do not know what they are doing. During this Holy Week, we will be considering the wondrous love of God revealed in Jesus' suffering and death on the cross. We don't have to die for our sins, thank God. Jesus did that for us. But we are called to follow a life of selflessness and a life of love and humility, lives of forgiveness. We are called away from lives of selfishness and clinging to earthly treasures. For all of its joyful hosannas, Palm Sunday is a day of contrasts, turning from a joyful parade of praise to a cruel crucifixion. We see Jesus, the Lord of heaven and earth, riding a borrowed donkey to reveal humility and giving up his life as a gift of love for us. As we enter this Holy Week, may God help us to recognize the things that make for peace. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to do far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen. As our profession of faith, you will find printed in your order of worship a passage from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Let us read this together as our profession as we stand. Jesus Christ, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess to the glory of God, Jesus is Lord. You may be seated. As we enter Holy Week, we move beyond Jesus' triumphal entry. We follow Jesus on the way to the cross. Jesus said, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." As Jesus gave his life for us and for the world, let our offerings reveal our commitment to follow Jesus. Let us give our offerings as a sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise.